Our readings this morning are from 1 John 3 and from Matthew 5. What marvellous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognise us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are. Children of God, and that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up?
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him, and in seeing him, become like him. All of us who look forward to his coming, stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own.
I've told you this story before, but I think good stories bear repeating, and it fits in. It's a story of a young girl walking through one of the great cathedrals of the world, where there are many, many stained glass windows, like this one here at the front. And seeing the light playing through the stained glass windows high above, she asked, "Who are all those people?" And her mother replied, "Those, they are saints." So when she asked later, when she was asked later, "What is a saint?" she knew the answer. Saints are people the light shines through. Saints are those the light shines through, those who reflect God's value in this world, those whose presence makes a difference because they allow us to know a little more clearly the presence of God and the presence of God's love. The Beatitudes that we heard Sandy read, blessed are, the Beatitudes are not qualifications or exhortations to better living. These are the descriptions of what is valued, what is held in high esteem in the divine vision of life. They're not things you have to do to get included in the community. They're not ways you have to change so that you can be part of God's reign. They're not nine different possible ways you can prove that you're eligible to belong here. This is one statement, one declaration about the way of life, the value system that marks out the identity of God's people. Highly esteemed, held in honour, are those who know they cannot rely on their own resources, who know they need God's presence in their lives. Highly esteemed and held in honour are those who know what it is to lose what's dear to them, who are unhappy with the things that aren't right. Highly esteemed are those who are content with who they are, who long to know more of God's ways, who care for others, who are single-minded about what is right. Held in honour are those who teach others ways to cooperate rather than to compete and fight. Highly esteemed and held in honour are those who remain committed to God even when that provokes a negative reaction in the world. I've invited a number of people to think about the people that they've known and those who have been important to them in their faith. People who for them have allowed the light to shine through them. People who have allowed them to see the light of God's vision. And so I invite Jan and Carol and David to come forward as you're ready to share about your saint.
Good morning, everyone. I did not come from a church family, but in my faith journey, the saints of the church have become my faith family. Sunday mornings in my home family were usually sport and doing other things. I say thank you to my mum and dad as saints, because they did not say there's only one way. They missed many family occasions and stopped doing things so that I could come to church. As a 10-year-old, I got up, I came to church on my own, and so it was a different way of coming to church. Saints do not judge or exclude. I thank Auntie Hazel Rossi. I would sit with Hazel and she would welcome me each week. Saints accept you as you are and acknowledge you wherever and whenever they meet you. Saints celebrate and encourage your differences. I was different. I didn't have that family behind me. Saints support and mentor you to take leadership opportunities. I thank Reverend Kyle Waters. Saints do not judge your theological rigour and allow you to interpret, comment and grow according to your own interpretation of the word. Saints stay with you at the side of your critically ill child in hospital, praying with you through the longest hours you have ever spent. I thank you, Reverend Don Howland. Saints support you through the hard questioning times and share their questions and journey with you. Thank you, Reverend Dean Davidson. Saints tell you when you do well and when, in their opinion, you don't. Thank you, Glad Mason. Saints walk alongside, sometimes carrying you and sometimes being carried by you. Thank you, Rusty Palmer. Saints offer advice, but respect that it is your decision whether to act or not. Thank you, Paul Kuypert. Saints are patient. Saints are kind. They do not envy or boast. They are not proud. Saints are not self-seeking and keep no record of wrongs. Saints delight in the truth. Saints protect, trust, hope and persevere. To the saints of Moriarta, those living and those cherished in my memories, I say thank you.
I think my journey to sainthood started when I was a young child. My maternal grandparents were Salvation Army officers. I vaguely remember going to the Army Hall from time to time, but as a family, we did not worship there. And when I was about 11, I went with a friend to St Hilda's Anglican Church in Katoomba. I do remember occasionally skipping church and spending my threepence for the offering on an ice cream. I was married in the Presbyterian Church in Lura in the Blue Mountains, and for a short while attended the Presbyterian Church in Glebe. So I suppose Minister Bill McLeod may have been my first saint. He was the minister when Noel was in the Presbyterian Youth Club in Gosford, and we spent some time with Bill and his wife. And when we moved to Melbourne in 76, my road to sainthood took a bit of a hiatus, and we didn't attend church at any time during our time in Melbourne. Moving to Adelaide in 84, we had the good fortune to live next to St Florence and Dean Gillette. Florence said she attended McGill Uniting Church and suggested that we give it a try. So we did. Christy and Robert joined the youth club and I was soon on several rosters and committees, as is wont in most churches. St Don Howland was the minister here at that time, and sadly, many of us attended his funeral recently. Don saw me through a particularly tough time in my life, and I think that's when I realised that there was more to being a worshipper than attending church each Sunday, listening to sermons and singing hymns. I think my faith journey really started when I attended confirmation classes with members both of this church and the then Newton congregation. These classes were led by St. Don and St. John Laurie. I was baptised and confirmed at that time. I took part in a few Bible study groups, but always struggled with reading and understanding the Bible, and I was becoming more frustrated and confused as time went by. It wasn't until I joined the Kerygma study led by St. Nairn Kerr that I realised I was taking the Bible too literally and reading it a really unenjoyable chore. I'm sure that along with many of you here, we really appreciate the contribution that St. Nairn made to our spiritual lives. So I continued to go along to study groups and Lenten studies, and I must say, very, very slowly, it all started to come together and make a bit of sense to me. Then about 6 or 7 years ago, I joined the Saints in the Gateways group, and I think that's when my spiritual life really took off. Sharing and discussing books authored by great theologians of Borg, Cross and Spong and many more certainly broadened and enhanced my understanding of God. My God is not an out there or up there God, but a God that is here, there and everywhere. In fact, it's pretty difficult to get away from that particularly patient, tolerant, friendly, wise, supporting, questioning, and occasionally chastising that ever-present force in my life that I call God, I think the ultimate saint.
I could talk about a living saint, Saint Judith, but I wish to talk about a deceased saint, the Reverend Maurice Wilmshurst. Known to the church as Morrie, I candidated during the time that Morrie was the minister at Mile End or Holden Memorial Methodist Church. I had a cousin who was in the ministry. I also had a couple of friends from that church who had entered the ministry. I had gone to Easter camps for many years and felt a very strong call to the ministry. But the interesting thing was that every testimony I heard from young men, in those days, I don't think there were any women, who said they were dragged sort of kicking and screaming when they felt the call. I wanted to be a minister, and I thought that can't be right. And the wise counsel of Maurie Wilmshurst pointed me to Lady Julian of Norwich, who lived in the 14th century, who talked about who put that love into your heart. And with wise counsel, I realised that because I wanted to be a minister, that was a legitimate call. The other influence from St. Morrie was that at that time in the church there was quite a controversy over the church organist. He was actually arrested and charged on an act of gross indecency. I had no idea what that meant. I talked to my parents and they explained what it meant. He was taken to trial. The church stood by him. Maurie Wilmshurst was his minister. My mother, and she was a saint, she stood by that man and maintained a friendship right through. I saw a living saint in Maurie Wilmshurst, and I thank God for that.
Who are the people who have been and continue to be saints for you? Who are the people that help you know more about God's love? The love that the Father has given to us. Who helps you to know more about your identity as a child of God? Who are the saints in your life who help you know more about the divine presence in this world? People the light shine through. Even if they would argue strongly against you calling them that. Can you think of someone? Perhaps you just might like to take a moment or two to tell someone next to you who a saint is in your life and why. Today's service is about naming and giving thanks for those saints who have allowed light to shine in our lives. And a bit later, we will particularly remember those saints that have died in the last year. But it's also about more than just naming them. It's more than about remembering them in our thoughts and words. It's about remembering them with our lives as we intend to be saints too, as the song says. God's light shines through the saints in our lives, and whenever we let that light shine through us, whenever we make God's love real in this world, it's then that we really remember those saints, and we are not far from them or from becoming saints ourselves. The mark of saints is in how we love one another. Let us continue to reflect, and we'll stay sitting down as we sing the song, A New Commandment.